Now we're really going to get into the Word of God. I hope you're ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. The Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. He says, "You all came out of Egypt." That's like when we come out of this world. The way the Israelites came out of Egypt, the way we come out of this world. And then he says that you were all baptized into Moses through the sea. That's the way when we get saved, come out of this world, we get baptized.
In
verse 3, he says that they all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. And the rock was Christ. And then it gives examples of where they went wrong in the wilderness. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. Do not act immorally as some of them did. And 23,000 people died in one day. Don't grumble like some of them did. And it says that these things happened to them as an example. And they were written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the ages has come. Everything that happened to national Israel in the past is a lesson supposed to teach us something today. The way Israel came out of Egypt is how we come out of this world. The way they were baptized into Moses, the way we're baptized into Jesus Christ. Through the parting of the seas, you know. Then they went into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. This is like us in this life. We are going through the wilderness. And we're on our way to the promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. And you know, some of the spies, they took some of the fruit from the promised land into the wilderness. You see, today we have a foretaste of what is to come in that promised land. The Holy Spirit has distributed gifts according to His will. And we experience something of the powers of the age to come. But the fullness comes when we cross Jordan's river and go into promised lands. But it's in the wilderness where you get tested. That's where God put Israel to the test and they failed the test. And out of the thousands and thousands of people that came out of Egypt, How many of those thousands and thousands actually made it into the promised land?
Two.
That's not a very good statistic. Joshua and Caleb, they were found faithful.
Joshua gini Caleb ki kena ginone gin lugen.
They were obedient to the Lord God. They passed the test in the wilderness. How many people today who come out of this world and call themselves saved Christians? Will never make it through the wilderness. But their bodies will fall in the wilderness, in the desert. And they'll never make it into the promised land. The wilderness is where you are tried and your faith is tested. You ever felt your faith being tested before? That's not an easy time. You get shaken by the hand of God. But if you're faithful, you don't grumble. You praise God despite what you're going through. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. You fight the good fight of the faith and you maintain faith with a good conscience. You'll make it through to the promised land. Amen. The Bible says that the children of Israel ate spiritual food. Now, what did the children of Israel eat in the wilderness?
Manna.
God did a mighty miracle amongst the Israelites. For 40 years, they ate the manna which fell supernaturally every morning. Actually, it fell 6 days, and then on the Sabbath, they could take twice as much the day before to eat on the Sabbath day. And if the people tried to keep some over from the previous day, just in case God wasn't going to provide the next day, it bred worms and became foul, terrible smell. But on the Sabbath day, God did a miracle every Sabbath day. Because the food was good to eat every Sabbath day. There's a lesson there. Why did Jesus do most of his miracles on the Sabbath day? Why doesn't the scripture say, and it was a Wednesday, and it was a Tuesday? Because the Sabbath day teaches us about our Sabbath rest in God. We often think about faith in terms of getting things from God. But the essence of faith is actually a rest in God. Getting things from God is a very, very small part of faith. But it says that the Israelites ate the manna that fell in the wilderness. And that this was spiritual food. Does that mean that it was some sort of funny food that floated around in the atmosphere?
Bernino, tiki chamo ma tiemer manen papag ma kirmo tiem ma berka uire rumugi kuno.
Magic food.
Chamo ma beru tao tao.
No, it was physical food they collected and they ate. But the characteristics of the manna, what God said about it, these are supposed to teach us spiritual lessons today. It's what it represented, spiritually speaking. In John chapter 6, Jesus was speaking to the Jews. And they said to him, "Are you greater than our father Abraham? Can you send bread for us? So remember Moses in the wilderness, he gave us bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus says, "It wasn't Moses that gave you that bread, it was my Father who is in heaven." And then he said that I am that bread that came from heaven. As God gave you the manna, the heavenly bread, and it fed the whole nation of Israel, the people of God. So I am the bread, the living bread that came down from heaven. And if you feed on me, you are feeding on the manna that comes from heaven. And the people got a bit confused. They said, "Well, does this man want us to eat his flesh?" You know, in the early days of the church, the church was persecuted by the Romans. And one of the stories they made up about the Christians was that they practiced cannibalism. Because they talked about feeding on this person called Jesus Christ and eating his body. I've heard about some people in the Congo who might do that. But we're in Uganda now, aren't we? We're safe here. Amen. But Jesus didn't mean us to start eating his flesh. He said that the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, if you feed on my words, then you're feeding upon me. My words are the manna that you need to receive today. And the word of God, the testimony of Jesus, is the manna we should be eating today. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What proceeds from the mouth of God is manna. Heavenly bread. So what does the Bible say about the manna?
Bible, what you are ningoi kom kom mugati enu nyo manna.
What lessons can we learn today about the manna?
Wanyango mawaromo ponyeki ye iloko manna.
Well, the manna that we're supposed to feed on today,
manna mamiru wanwo beka chamune te karene,
is the word of Christ. It's the testimony of Jesus.
Mau beru lokpa Christo dago beru chaden pa Yesu Christo.
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life.
Yesu ani ana ye mugati me kuo.
He who feeds on me will never hunger.
Ngan machamo an peke bin nego ne matwal.
He who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, will never hunger or thirst again."
Ngan machamo koma dago maru remuna
If we are learning about and meditating on the true biblical Jesus, what he said and what he did, and who he was as the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, we will be feeding on the manna. This should be our focus in our preaching and in our teaching. If anything else is our focus, then we're not feeding on the manna. A lot of people today, they preach, you need to get yourself a vision. You need to get blessed. You need to have signs and wonders. They focus on dispensationalism. All sorts of different things they focus on. These are all side issues. The focus is Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ. This is the manna.
And
this should be our focus. You know, the manna was available to the Israelites to eat every day. And it was to be eaten fresh every day. Remember, if they tried to keep some for the next day, it bred worms and became foul. Yeah, God didn't tell the Israelites to go hunting or foraging in the wilderness. Didn't say they had to go and find a fruit tree and pick up some fruits to eat. They didn't have to do anything. It was given to them as a free gift. The gifts of God always come for free. You don't pay for anything that God gives. And the manna is given freely to all who will seek it. And didn't Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11, give us each day our daily bread. What is he talking about? He's talking about the manna. The manna came fresh every day. Just because you may receive a revelation from God's word one day, does not mean that he will not show you something else the next day. Many people get a hold of one truth of God's word. Then that's all they ever focus on. That might be a truth, but it is not the truth. Psalm 119 and verse 160 says, the sum of your word is the truth. In other words, all of your word is the truth. Just because you've got a little bit of the truth doesn't mean you've got all the truth. We say in England, a little knowledge is dangerous. Because when someone suddenly gets to know something in the Word of God, All they ever focus on is that one little thing. But if you don't balance that truth with all the other truths of Scripture, that truth can become a lie. Because it's not balanced by all the truth. That's how most denominations start. Because they get a hold of one little truth. Like the Baptists, it's just all about baptism. Pentecostals is all about Pentecost. Signs and wonders ministry is all about signs and wonders. But God says the sum of your word is the truth. And the manna came fresh every day. We need to be seeking God daily for new revelation from His words. The Bible says the commandments of God are exceedingly broad. You cannot exhaust the depths of the Word of God. And next, the manna was the perfect nutrition for all Israel. They didn't need to kill a cow or kill a goat and supplement their diet. Says that the manna tasted of the juices of oil. Numbers 11 and verse 8. That means it satisfied and it filled them. The Bible also says that it tasted of the wafers of honey. Exodus 16 verse 31. It was sweet to the taste. The promised land where they were going was supposed to be the land flowing with milk and honey. And the manna was a small foretaste of what they were going to experience in the land of milk and honey. In Psalm 19 and verse 10, it says about God's law and His words that they are like sweeter than honey, sweeter than the drippings of the honeycomb. It also says in the Psalms that they are, your words are sweet to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. The word of God is supposed to taste sweet to your soul. Too many people read the word of God and it was like dry bread. And there's nothing fresh about it to them. Because they're reading it as an information book. But when you receive revelation manna from heaven, that's when the word of God satisfies you and fills you within. And it becomes sweet to your soul. Hebrews 6 and verse 5 speaks about those who have tasted the good word of God. Does the word of God taste good to you? It should do. God's word is constituted to provide the perfect balance of nutrients. All the spiritual nutrients you need to grow as a believer. Bible says you don't need anything else, you just need the manna.
And
next it was called the grain from heaven. That means it is divine in origin. Now these words may be written by a printer or written with ink. This book may be put together by a person on this earth. But when the Holy Spirit takes these words and makes them alive to you, that's when they become the manna. It's that combination of the Spirit and the Word together. And when the Holy Spirit anoints His words, at that point it becomes living words, living bread for us. And it was the bread that the Israelites were commanded to eat. Exodus 16, verses 15 and 16. This is the food you are to eat, says the Lord your God. They were not supposed to go hunting or foraging for any other food. It was easy to find, it was pleasant to the taste. No other food was necessary for their upkeep. As believers, we are to restrict our spiritual diet to the manna. To the living bread that came from heaven. Preachers must restrict their preaching to this living bread also. Any other food is unkosher or unclean. It is not to be touched. That includes any teaching that does not have Jesus Christ as the central theme of their preaching. Any preaching that focuses on self rather than Jesus is unclean. Any teaching that tries to get you to enjoy your life or experience your life now is not
manna.
Jesus said, if you find your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and for the gospel's, then you will find it. Any gospel that is preached that is different to what the apostles preached, that is not manna. Any gospel that depends on human, worldly traditions is not manna.
Amen.
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 Now, unfortunately, the Israelites despised the manna.
Gin marad dok mutimene ni.
They ignored the gift of God and instead they craved new meat. I want to read a few scriptures from Numbers chapter 11. I'll start in verses 4 to 10. It says, "The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried up. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna.' Now the manna was like coriander seed and its appearance like that of bdellium. The people would go about and gather it and grind it between two millstones or beat it in the mortar and boil it in the pot and make cakes with it. And its taste was as the taste of the juices of oil. And when the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna would fall with it. Now Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, each man at the doorway of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and it was evil in Moses' sight." Verses
4 to 10. Kagi chamo miterum ki mit pa chapat magitero ki mo katoy uluki de gon ki di wo chimana bene poroping mojo winyo kadano gi lok gi kok idogola gi duchu unara chela chel tie idog kemane chikini ga magruon matek mojo bene chwine to beru yom.
And then verses 18 to
23. Tienga paraboro.
"Say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, "Oh, that someone will give us meat to eat. For we were well off in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, "Why did we ever leave Egypt?" But Moses said, "The people among whom I am are 600,000 on foot. Yet you have said, 'I will give them meat, so that they may eat for a whole month.' Should flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to be sufficient for them? Or should all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to be sufficient for them?" And the Lord said to Moses, "Is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will befall you or not."
Tia paraboro, wat boluangni, ulonye kikenu ben maleng, pinina madiri, tio bichamurio, pien, beroga cock, yip wat kun wazani, angama bimi warrio mea chamawa, pien yam uno, watima beg yway eji, pimeno rot bimi urio, tio bicham. Be obi cham pinina chiel keken, nyo nina ryo, nyo abij, nyo apa, nyo pier ryo. En obi cham pidwea chiel kolo niyo kabikati wako ki wumu, niyo ka uchidu chinyu wako, bien utiko kwero ruot ma abiri kinu ni, kunu koke nyime ki pigu wangu, wajo ni pingo yam waha wako ki Egypt, en mojo do gamo ni, yo ma abiri kingi wilgi roma liv, mi abichel cho magi woro kitienge chini wajoni abimi ugirio pego champi due kolo miero gi nek lwagli makwa romiki diengu wego romgi nyulwak rech duche matin nam gibi choko kachiel pigi horom gi horogam dong moje ni ching ruot ayedo doko chek bo ibi neno tin kachiel loka bi chobe bori ikarin ikakare nyope.
And then from verses 31 to 34. Now there went forth a wind from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and let them fall beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side, and a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits deep on the surface of the ground. The people spent all day and all night and all the next day and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves and all around the camp. And while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very severe plague. So the name of that place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had been greedy.
Karoromio yamokodo chukelo lwaka luru nyaki nam chuku poropinyet gony lacheromo wot menino achiel kitung chiel dok kitung mukene bene lacheromo wot menino achiel maurumu gony wok duchu upongo piny maromo futa dekolo dano kutware kachoko gi nino menu kicheng gidi wo bene bene kiuruone bene joma kuchoko manok keken kuchoko maromo gunia piera dek. Chi kuchako moene muromo gony. Ikar maringo puru moke kinlagi mapea kuchamu tum. Kiniga umako ruore komdanum. Chi upuodo luak kituo gemu mapek. Mumiyo nyinka berumenu kiluoni Kibroth Hattaavah liel paluke. Pien joma kegi duong hiko kikuno.
Now we need to read from Psalm 78, verses 17 to 31. It says, yet they still continue to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And in their heart they put God to the test by asking food according to their desire. Then they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can he give bread also? Will he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the people heard and was full of wrath, and a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also mounted against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna upon them to eat, and gave them grain from heaven. Man did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he directed the south wind. When he rained meat upon them like the dust, even winged fowl like the sand of the seas, then he let them fall in the midst of their camp, round about their dwellings. So they ate and were well filled, and their desire he gave to them. Before they had satisfied their desire, while their food was in their mouths, the anger of God rose up against them and killed some of their stoutest ones and caused to bow down the choice men of Israel.
Utemo lubai chwingi kungilega ni umini gi chama yigi upuke ye. Kuloko long maraje kom lubai kungi wazini lubai tuero yubo meja ije tim kany. Kono ada eno baro got chipi ukatiki ye. Kulu duchugu upong wako libyeny wai witura. Endo tuero miyo cham, nyo tuero miyo bene ringo bolu akewe kucham. Pimeno akemu makurun matek. Karma winu long man, mi ulueni kom joyce yo pa Yakubu kimach, kiniga ne unya mede kom joyce harel, pien pegu beru kini ye kome, dok pegu gene ni ene tueru laroge, eno chiko pol mati malo, dok yabu dugola me polo, kadungo chako chualo bod gimana, mea chama, mi ubod gi kalmu aki polo, dano gu chamu kuon mamulae kagu chamu. Uchwalo bod gi chamba duong ata. Umiyo yao matungu wakchengu. Kodo kipolo. Dokbenu telo yao makodo. Yotunga chuch. Kituero ne. Uchwalo luak winyo pie ikomgi chalapua. Gipol magirom kikwema idong nam. Umiyo guporo wakidye agonji kaberu duchu maurumu kemage. Luak guchamo chiku yengbe ne matek. Pien lubado umiyo bodgi ginma yigo poke ye. Eto maput ke ringo tie mapea gu yeng mabe. Mano chambe ne putie doggi kiniko mako luba. Mateke komgi chuneko joma mutegim wako kikingim. Juero tunu teka magi yero gi kikinjo esareli wako.
Amen. The Bible says that the Israelites ate spiritual food in the wilderness.
Bible watch Joyce Arel go chamo chamme chwin ikarma giti timaro.
What other spiritual food did the Israelites eat in the wilderness?
Chamme chwin mukene mene ma Joyce Arel chamme karma giti timaro.
There was the manna and the quail.
Ubera mugati nyo manna kidong aluru.
The quail was spiritual food they ate in the wilderness. The characteristics of the quail, what God says about it, is meant to teach us spiritual lessons today. Like the manna, the quail was supplied supernaturally by God. They didn't go and collect it from the tree. God brought it in. But unlike the manna, it did not originate from heaven. Remember, the manna was called the grain from heaven. The quail did not come from heaven. And the quail came because the people despised the
manna.
They said, "Our soul loathes this miserable food." That was rebellion against God. The manna was the food they were commanded to eat. But instead of eating what God told them to eat, they desired and craved new meat instead. Now, the manna originated from heaven. Where did the quail originate from? Anyone been listening?
That's from the sea.
From the sea. Mm. Yeah, from the sea. What does the seas represent in the Bible?
Nam kono monoki Bible chungpingo.
Revelation 17 and verse 15 talks of the seas representing peoples, multitudes, nations, and
tongues.
Quail as a food has its roots in the philosophies and wisdom of men.
Aluru matalo chamno waki irieko ki puny ma aki bodana ye.
The manna came from heaven, its origin was divine.
Manna nyumugarchani waki polmanyute kamua ye ubero ki bodlu bahagi kome.
The quail comes from the thoughts and the wisdom of mankind.
Aluru waki tam ki rieko padana ye.
It is not divine in origin,
even
though God brought it. Now, the quail was brought from the sea by a combination of the south and east winds. In the Bible, what does the... In the Bible, what does the east wind represent?
Ki Bible, yamume kunyao, matuki kunyao ni, chungpingo.
Remember when Pharaoh had his dreams in the times of Joseph?
Ipo ikarma parao ikarpa lusepo uberkileke.
And he saw seven stalks of grain, and they were healthy and good to eat.
Uneno a nikal maromo gina biro.
Then he saw 7 ears of corn that were withered and scorched by the east wind. The east wind always represents the curse of God. The judgment of God. Remember, that was representing a famine that God had judged or determined upon Egypt in those days. Remember, in the time of Moses, when the plague of locusts came, as a judgment upon the gods of Egypt. What brought the locusts? The east wind. When Jonah stood outside of Nineveh and waited to see its destruction, God had a plant grow over him to give him shelter. Then God removed that plant. And then God sent an east wind to scorch him. And he prayed to God that he would die. The east wind in Israel always was a very hot, dry wind that will come from the desert. Always represents the curse and judgment of God. But what about the south wind? The south wind promises good. In Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16, it talks about the south wind blowing on the bride's garden. Wafting out fragrance of its spices to her beloved. It's something good. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 55, Jesus says about the south wind that it brings clear skies and the sun's heat. Bring something good. But what happens when there's a combination of the two? We read about that in Acts chapter 27 and verse
13.
Remember, the Apostle Paul was on his way to Rome. And the centurion had put him on a ship. And the Apostle Paul, warned by God, said we should not take this voyage. It will end in disaster for this ship. But the Bible says a soft south wind started to blow.
Bible wachi kar inuni yamuma kopinyu yuachuju chako uchako kodo.
And the scripture says that the sailors thought they had what they wanted. So against the advice of the man of God, they set sail because of the south wind that blew. And they went straight into the arms of a crushing northeast wind. A hurricane force wind that destroyed their ship. And if Paul had not been amongst their passengers, all would have been lost. You see, when there's a combination of the south wind and the east wind, it's something that promises good, seems to be good, but in the end it will bring disaster. When the people wanted the quail, they thought they were getting something good. God sent it, it must be good. But they didn't realize that for many of them it will cost them their lives.
You see,
today there are people searching for the new revelation. They've got bored with the old manner. And they start searching out the new revelation. Give me the new meat, Pastor. But in the end, it's going to judge them. And could mean the end of their life. The Bible says that he rained the flesh upon them like the dust. Didn't God curse the dust? They're eating something that is cursed. But they don't even know it. Because it came on the south wind and then the east wind. And the scripture says their desire he gave to them. It was according to the lusts of their flesh. How many gospels in our churches today? Or preachings? Are to all intents and purposes an excuse to indulge our flesh. Just with a thin spiritual veneer on the top. You got this gospel called the prosperity gospel. All it does is indulge people's greed. And I should know because I was a prosperity preacher. I preached that message till God shook me and showed me the truth. What about this gospel that just focuses on ourselves all the time? It's just indulging our pride. You can be a great man of God. You're a powerful man. Did Jesus ever preach like that? He said there were two men who went to pray in the temple. One was a Pharisee, one was a tax collector. And the Pharisee said, "Oh Lord God, I'm so thankful I'm not like that other man. I tithe twice a week, I fast, and I do all these things. I'm such a powerful man of God. I'm so wonderful, so glad I'm not like that other guy. You're so lucky to have me, God." But the tax collector wouldn't even look up to heaven. And he beat his chest and said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." Do you know, every one of us in here deserves hellfire. We are all objects of his wrath. Until God decides to open our eyes and save us. The Apostle Paul said, "May I never boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ." Through which I have been crucified to this world and this world to me. The Bible says that they were unable to satisfy their fleshy desire.
Bible watch John in
God made sure that it would be loathsome to them. If you want quail, I'm going to give you quail. If you despise my manna, I'm going to give you quail. But you're not going to have it for 1 day, not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days. I'm going to make sure you have so much that you're going to be sick of it. You see, this is how the process works. There's a brother in your church. And he has a friend in another church down the road. And he starts getting bored with the old-fashioned messages that his pastor preaches. Starts getting bored of the manna. He says, "Pastor, give me something new. Give me the new revelation." And his friend tells him about his church and his pastor. And his pastor is supercharged. And he can really preach. And he's got the new revelation, brother. He really preaches good. And because he despises the manna, he then goes to the other church. And he discovers the new revelation for himself. And he can't have enough of it. And he's eating not 1 day, not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days. He's in every meeting. He can't get enough of what this new preacher's preaching. But after a period of time, he suddenly realizes there's nothing to this new message. Where's the power in these words? You know, when I go on a Sunday, I feel really moved and hyped up. But after a few hours, the feeling wears off. And you start to realize it's just empty words and hype.
And
what do they do then? They leave the church disillusioned. They say, ah, church is full of hypocrites. Ah, they just want all my money. What the preacher promised me, I never got. And they walk away from the faith. Why? Because they ate the quail. And they despised the manna. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 8 to 12. Talks about people who did not receive the love of the truth. They did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Because they didn't love the truth, God sent them a deluding influence. So that they will believe that which is false, in order that they may be judged, who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. If people do not love the manna, if you don't love the truth with all your hearts, the Bible says, for this reason, God will send you quail instead. If you're going to despise what God gives you free of charge, God is not mocked. He is a great king. And if you decide to despise what he has given you free of charge, he'll give you something else instead. He'll give you a lie so that you will believe that which is false in order that he may judge you. Judge those who did not delight in the manner, believe the truth. But who took pleasure in wickedness. Who wanted food after their own desires. Eating the quail brought about the judgment of God. A severe plague. This is the end result of anyone who chooses quail over manna. Remember, these things were written for our instruction. God allowed this whole thing to happen to Israel. He allowed people to eat quail and to die to teach you a lesson. Wouldn't you say that's an important lesson to learn? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, the Apostle Paul says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure the manna, they will despise it. But wanting to have their ears tickled and stroked, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. Teachers of quail. And will turn away their ears from the truth. The manna. And will turn aside to myths. Many people today should rename their ministries. Instead of super apostle new revelation ministries, they should call themselves Quail International Ministries. Instead of the Voice of Victory magazine, they should call it the Voice of the Quail magazine. As ministers, what are we feeding upon ourselves? And what are we feeding to our people? Who then is the faithful and wise slave his master puts in charge of the household? To give them the proper food at the proper time. See, where do you get your teaching from? Is it from Super Apostle from Quail Ministries International down the road? Or do you spend your spare hours at home reading the Word for yourself? Spending many lonely hours with God and His Words. Praying for God's revelation upon His Words. You don't need an angel to speak to you to get revelation from heaven. You need the Holy Spirit from heaven to give you revelation of His words. And God is no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter if you're American, Ugandan, British, whoever. Doesn't matter if you're the poorest person in your village. God uses the weak things of this world to shame the wise and the strong. He deliberately chooses the despised things of this world to shame those things which are. So that no man may boast before Him. Is your teaching Christ-centered? Or is it success-centered? Is it ministry-centered? Or is it the crucified life centered? Are we feeding our people manna or are we feeding them quail? That's the question we must answer. Amen.